Well, good evening. It is good to see you. We are glad you have come out tonight as we have gathered for this Bible study. Let's pray that God would be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and Father, we just want to thank you for this another day of grace and mercy and your love. And Father, tonight, as I'm sure we've all heard, we pray for our brother, Pastor Lloyd, as he is lying in the hospital with all these broken bones. And so we pray for him right tonight, Lord. Lloyd, that your healing hand would be upon him, Lord, and that your presence would be with him and Jane and the family, with the whole family. And Father, we just know that you're in control, and we pray your blessing upon them even through this tough time. May they know that you care and you are with them. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for your word tonight, as it is shared. We pray that as we look into it, it would speak to us, and Father, that we would gain some truths and just draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanks. Amen. Exodus 19 and 20. And I'll tell you right away, if I don't totally understand this, then I hope to get most of it right, but if I say something wrong, make sure you correct me. Exodus 19, 20, and then Hebrews, but we'll start with Exodus 19. We are studying the Mosaic Covenant. Now, the Mosaic Covenant is also called the Sinai Covenant. And those of you that have studied that a little bit probably know that. But much more often called Mosaic Covenant. The reason was that because God's chosen leader of Israel, at the time when he sent this covenant to them or spoke this covenant to them, their leader was Moses, and that's why it is called the Mosaic Covenant. And it was a covenant made between God and the nations of Israel, and it occurred at Mount Sinai. And this, hopefully, it will become clearer to us as we go along. Exodus 19. Now, I'm not going to read those whole two chapters in one. We will go through them, and then we will go back and pick up some things that we've missed a few times. And at least that's what I did at home, and try to get the stuff clear in my head. Exodus 19, 1 to 3. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now here we have, for the first time, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. And then God announces to him, starting at verse 4, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I hope you get a picture here of the people are down below, the mountain is here, and he's asking Moses, telling Moses that he's going to give them the law, actually, as what we could call it. And I hope you caught that one word there. It's a very small word. In verse 5, and that's the word if. We'll get back there a few times yet today, but tonight, if obey me and keep my covenant. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words and the people unto the Lord. Returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Moses goes down from the mount where God has spoken to him, and he reports to the people. And in verse 8, we could say they accept the covenant, right? They say, we will do. Now, just to give you a little bit of background here again, this covenant would actually serve to set up the nation of Israel apart from all the other nations. They were going to be God's chosen people. And this covenant, I believe, was as equally binding as the unconditional covenants that God made with Abraham, like you heard last week. I believe this was just as binding, because, or maybe even more so, because this was also a blood covenant. And this covenant has a whole lot of significance in both God's, what should I say, redemptive history, and also in the history of the nation of Israel. Because it would be through them that God would choose to bless the world with his written word and also the living word, Jesus Christ. This was the forerunner for that. There is a difference between the Mosaic, this covenant, and last week's covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and David's covenants. Because this Mosaic covenant is actually, we could call it, a conditional covenant. These other covenants were unconditional. Their God's favor, blessings, are based on his decisions, but this Mosaic covenant, the blessing, or the lack of the blessing, was a direct result of the obedience, or disobedience, should I say, of the people. The people said, we will do, so they were supposed to do all these things. That's what this covenant was about. There's details, we'll get into some more of them a little bit later, but I just thought maybe I should throw that in so that you understand that it was different than the other ones, but, and I think as you see, you will see why, because here they had to keep these things. They were supposed to obey these things. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now the Lord says he will come and speak to the people so that they can hear him, so that they will believe Moses. That's what he's saying here. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now the word sanctify, really what it means here is Moses is supposed to get these people ready. Verse 11, he says that, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Sanctify the people means to set them apart. Sanctify the people means they were supposed to not do any worldly business. It's kind of like a call to prayer or meditation. And the reason they were supposed to do that was so that they could receive the law from God with reverence and devotion. All the cares of the world they were supposed to put away, so that their hearts could focus totally on what God was going to say to them. Now, the washing clothes is an interesting, I found it interesting there. They wash their clothes. I think they probably were supposed to wash their clothes, but what it was supposed to be a sign that they had repented or been cleansed from the inside, and the clean clothes from the outside showed that they had done that. I believe that's what the reference or the illustration is there. Outward sign, the clothes, inward, clean hearts. So they could see clean inside out. And then verse 12, thou shalt set bounds unto the people. Now bounds about the mountain, round about unto the people and round about the mountain. So if, I don't know if you can get a picture here of the mountain, and I'm not quite sure what kind of bounds. I'm thinking it was more like a ditch. I'm not quite sure. Some commentaries, they weren't sure either. I tried to look it up. But I think it was something where they couldn't pass through to get up to that mountain. You couldn't go past that. And nobody could cross it. You couldn't even touch that area. They were supposed to stay on the outside. Verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it. Because if you touch it, you're going to be stoned or shot. It doesn't matter if you're animal or man. There was a line around that mountain that nobody could cross. Verse 13:2, there we had the trumpet. For those of you that were here when I did the Bible study on the trumpets, when the trumpet sounds, here's one of those signals of the trumpet, then you know that something's going to happen. And that's what they had here. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. Now here almost seems like a bit of a contradiction, that he's almost calling them up to the mount, but he doesn't want them to cross over that ditch or that mountain. So it's a bit of a hard to maybe understand. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, 16, or actually we could 15, I maybe missed that. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And really what he's saying there, be ready, don't even have intercourse with your wife. That's how strict these laws were. At least that's the way I've picked it up. It came to pass, verse 16, on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now the Lord descends in fire, and the mountain is wrapped in smoke. Huge scene. In verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai at the top of the mount, and the Lord God called Moses up to the mount, top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now he calls Moses back up unto the mountain. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Now they weren't supposed to cross this border because they would perish if they would try to look at the Lord. Verse 22, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. These are very, very stern instructions. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai for us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Moses says, we can't come up. You get thee down, go back down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, with thee. Priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. Spake unto them. So Moses says, people can't come up. So God says, go down, get Aaron, nobody else. If anybody else wants to, I'll destroy them. And Moses goes down and told them what God had said. And then we come to chapter 20. Here, what is known as the Ten Commandments. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he goes through these Ten Commandments. And I don't know, I probably don't have time to go through them tonight. But I think most of us, we know them. Have no other gods before me. Not make any graven image. Not bow down thyself to them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord the God in vain. Verse 7, remember the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labor. do all that work. 6 days, verse 11, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. 13, thou shalt not kill. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And guess what? The people are terrified. Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Now, it's a huge scene here. And the people were scared. Actually, they start pleading with Moses, verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us. Because you know what? They were scared they were going to die. You know what I thought of that? I thought of that. If we sometimes could hear God's voice, wow. These people couldn't handle it. And Moses said unto the people, verse 20, fear not, for God has come to prove, or we could say test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Really what Moses is saying, don't be scared, don't be afraid. God has awesome power. So that from now on, you will be afraid to sin against them. That is actually why he showed the people his power. They were supposed to actually be scared. He told them not to be afraid, but they were, because this was huge. So Moses draws near to the thick darkness, and he receives the rest of the ordinance from the Lord. Actually, chapter 21 and on, there's just a whole lot more of the law that's given. I'm not going to take time to read that, but there's a lot more to that law than those Ten Commandments. There is just an enormous amount of information, and maybe we'll touch on some of them. Maybe Deuteronomy 28, if you just turn there a little bit, has a whole chapter. Take time to read that sometimes. Those are all things of the law. I'll just go some of those verses just briefly. Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. His Lord is talking again to them. If, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground. And he goes on there. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, verse 5. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. All these blessings from the Lord. But in verse 15, he says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses, and he has enormous amount of curses, that shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Curses all over, that this whole chapter tells of all the things that are going to happen to them if they don't obey. This is the law that God put upon them at this time. It's an enormous amount of law, which they couldn't keep. I mean, how do you, right? So I want us to notice some things. I'm going to go back a little bit. Exodus 19, verse 5. I want to show you some of the things here that I found, at least, things that are very important and that we need to recognize. Verse 5, Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Really, what God is saying here, all the earth is God's, right? All the earth is mine, he says right at the end of verse 5. "For all the earth is mine." But he calls Israel what? What does he call them? "Ye shall be a peculiar treasure." Or we could say, I don't know, what's a good word for peculiar treasure? That's what King James has. My special possession? Something like that? I don't know. Something that's, it was his. He will be Israel's God, and they're going to be a very, very special people if they keep his covenant. Did you notice that? "If ye will obey my voice, then ye will be." Verse 6, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." What's special about being a priest? What was special in the days, in those days, about being a priest? I know you all know the answer, but you're all scared to say it. But intimate access to God. It was only the priests that had that intimate access to the Heavenly Father. And he says here, if you are going to be my people, and if you will obey, then ye shall be unto me, the whole kingdom shall be like a priest. That's for everybody then, he says. A priest's inheritance, what it was in that time, was the Lord. The Lord was a priest's inheritance. And this promise that he says here, he offers it to the whole nation of Israel. You know what? There is no better or greater privilege than having an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, is there? So look at what he offers them. Like, it's unreal. There's one more point out of these verses. "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You know what that means? That he would set them apart from all other people. And they would be granted a moral likeness to God. Holy. It's unreal how wonderful that can be. If Israel keeps the covenant with God, if they do that, they will be a holy nation. Let's turn to Exodus 23:22. "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak," now listen to this, "then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." Actually, what we could see here, this is another one of those promises that God offers them if they will keep the covenant. Actually, anybody that opposes Israel will have to deal with God. That's what he's saying here. If Israel keeps covenant, anybody who opposes Israel will have to deal with God. And that's quite something. And my last one comes out of Exodus 34. Now here comes God's promise of mercy. Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. I'll read those again. I'll read verse 7 again. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. These are very, very precious verses. Very. Because you know what? God promises to be merciful. Verse 6, gracious, long-suffering. Verse 7, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. These are actually, I would have to say, probably some of the sweetest gospel words of the Bible. They come from Mount Sinai. And that shows us the message of Christ. And the message of Moses are what? One great message of grace. They totally bind together. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed God will treat Israel with mercy and grace and forgive her sins if she keeps the covenant. So now that leads us to the question, if you're all wondering how you keep the covenant, what are the human conditions then that must be met to enjoy God's blessings, to enjoy these covenant blessings? Because we know no person can in his own heart keep that, right? We all fall short, and they did too. So what is the human condition that must be met? Turn back to Exodus 19:5. Just touch on that again. Obey God's voice and keep God's covenant. That sounds like you can work for grace, right? If they obey. But it doesn't mean that. It does not mean that you can earn your blessing by working for God, because we know it doesn't work. And that's not what it means. I think that's what it means. What it means is, I think they had to keep themselves in an attitude so that in order for them to receive God's grace and mercy and forgiveness is the attitude we find in Exodus 20, 5 and 6. Turn there. Thou shalt not bow down or worship. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Israel upholds her side of the covenant by loving God and by not putting anything else, anything valuable, or any, you could say, an idol, or anything else, where God belongs in your heart. And out of your love for God flows an obedience to his word. It's full of, right? So Israel has to uphold her side of the covenant by loving God and not allowing anything into your heart that's going to take over God. In other words, what he's saying here, Israel, I believe, will receive her blessing if God remains first in your life. through all that, you learn to trust him. And in order for you to receive God's blessing, you must learn to trust. Actually, the obedience required in the Mosaic covenant is actually the same as ours. Obedience which comes through what? Through faith. It's actually the same obedience required in the Abrahamic covenant. When the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis 22:18, I think Lloyd shared that last week. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:18. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. It's actually the same obedience required in the new covenant under which we live. And we're going to go to Hebrews a little bit here. I'm going to start with Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to whom? Unto all them that obey him. So the Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, and the covenant that Jesus sealed with his own blood are all expressions, or one great covenant, I could say, of grace. They all lead to the same place. And so what is required to inherit this blessing? I'll show you more verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So what does? Faith with which worketh by love. You know what's actually amazing? How can there be so much grace? Like, the sacrifice of bulls and goats are of no satisfaction, right? And Isaiah, turn to Isaiah a little bit. Isaiah 53:6. Then we'll go back to Hebrews again after that. You'll often hear these verses at Easter time. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But what? And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's grace. How could just God, under that covenant, under like a Mosaic covenant that he said they had to do, how could a just God, I've questioned this all week, how could a just God under this covenant be so gracious and be able to forgive so freely? And there's only one answer, and I think you probably all know that answer. He looked forward to the coming of his son and the sacrifice that repairs all the injury that was done. That's the only way possible that God could do that. Turn to Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can ever with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. for it is not possible to take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. And then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And I could continue and continue. There could have actually, we could say it this way, and I think I can say it this way. Maybe you pastors might correct me. I don't know if I'm right here, but I don't think there could have been any covenant with Abraham, no covenant with Moses, and no new covenant without the coming of Jesus Christ to be that sacrifice. I don't think otherwise there could have been no covenant. Because Christ died and he purchased it all. That's the only way. I'm going to wrap up here and then I'm going to let comments come. And maybe sometimes some of it almost seems confusing. And I too, I had questions. Why would a gracious God who loves and forgives unconditionally and who's not merit-based create a conditional merit-based covenant with his people, Old Testament? You start to ask, why would our great God do that? But the Apostle Paul actually discusses the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The purpose of the law was what? To make people aware of their inability. So that when Christ came, they would, how should I say, recognize their need for him. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:24. This is in our catechism books. Question, I think. Galatians 3. Was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith? But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And a schoolmaster is a tutor or a teacher or whatever. In Exodus 19, verse 8, what did we read? What did the people say? We will do, right? But it seems like they just couldn't obey him for very long. They were hopelessly, I must say, unable to accomplish the requirements of the law. I think in their own selves, it was impossible. So sacrifices and offerings were prescribed for sins, but you know what? Even those, they would sometimes do half-heartedly. And you can read about that, and I think it's Malachi. They didn't totally give them over either because it was so hard. Or turn to Psalm 51. This is King David going through some of the stuff that he couldn't keep. And you know what he writes? Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Therefore, I believe the Mosaic covenant is not a contradiction. You know what it is? I would have to say it's probably lets us see our need for grace that much clearer. Comments. It is amazing how those covenants, they all go together to the same place. They have to. Any comments? Yeah, we live in a dispensation where it's already happened, and they had to live in the time where it was going to come and understood that, right? Because I think it's easier to understand it once he's been here than to anticipate. We anticipate the second coming, but we also know he was here. Yeah, good point, Henry. I think that's... Any other comments? Because of God's grace, it's, right? The thing is, God knew they couldn't keep those, didn't he? Right. Yeah, no. It all leans back to that New Testament when, you know, Jesus Christ is going to come back, right? Or going to come to pay for it with his blood. Good thoughts. Anybody else? I know some of you probably know the Old Testament much better than I do. I wish I knew it better, but sometimes. I actually enjoyed studying it because it's good to study that. I don't know. Hopefully you're enjoying the studies, but. But he disobeyed too. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, that's because he didn't obey. It wasn't very long anyhow. It could be 11 days. I don't know if any of you know it off by heart or not. I know it was, what was 40 years in the wilderness, right? So how long would it have taken? Yeah, it was days, but you could be right there, Merton. Isn't that something? Something that would take from here till 11 days. How far would we get? They wandered there for 40 years. God's ways are beyond finding out, right? And there's a lot of other verses that I could have shared with you, but I think we get the picture. But there was a lot of stuff. Like, read Deuteronomy 28 when you get home. There is so much stuff in that law. There's no way they could keep that. Like, impossible. Any other thoughts? Quickly. Okay, if not, then we'll go to prayer. So, prayer requests that we have tonight. It's Pastor Lloyd and, of course, Jane and the whole family, Henry, Marlene, and everybody else there. For those of you that might not have heard, he fell down I'm not sure how it happened. His shop that he's building on his place, he went down. He's broken, got broken wrists, and I heard a knee. I don't know if that's really true, what's all broken, but quite a few broken bones. And Dennis, have you heard anything more? Legs. Ribs, yeah. Pardon me? Tomorrow morning already? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I believe that. But I also heard that his mind was good, right? And no internal, so. Thank God for that and pray for the rest. So. Our governments, right? Ukraine, they're Russia. Put that all together, government, Ukraine. It's terrible. Dan Kloss. Oh, okay. Thank you. That's Dan Clausen from Mormon Congregation. So you had a second stent put in today. So. Anything else? I guess Marge Swatsky, she did have a treatment today, so. Not doing that good, but she did have another treatment, so. And Manuel Jansen, was he in church again Sunday? Anybody know? Yeah? Okay. Keep praying for Manuel. Okay, anybody else? Anything else that we need? Okay, who wants to pray for Pastor Lloyd and Jane and Andy and Marlene, the whole family? And Jane's children. Who wants to take that one? Howard Entz, thank you. Government, Ukraine, Russia, that whole situation there. Adam, thank you. Dan Clausen. Henry Dick. Marge Swatsky. Wes Wall and Menno Johnson. You do them both, okay. And if anyone else feels something comes up, you feel to need to pray for it. We have some time after these four have prayed. And then off that I'll close. So we'll start with Howard. Father, as we come to close tonight, we want to thank you for your word. Father, we also thank tonight of Phil Friesen, which I've got to mention. We pray for him too, Lord, that you would be with him every day, every moment. He is so waiting to go home to see you. And so, Lord, as he waits for that time, we just pray that you'd give him peace, comfort, be with Marge, be with that family as well. Thank you for these covenants that you have left in the Bible for us to learn from, Heavenly Father. It is so good to study them. And I thank you for each one here today that came out to have a study together. Father, we know that your word is all-powerful, and so today we claim that word. May you go with us here as we leave here tonight. May it have encouraged, your word encouraged us tonight. And may we remember that grace is sufficient for all the stuff that we go through. That's what you told the Apostle Paul many years ago. But you said your grace was sufficient, and so, Father, we claim that. We close with a benediction tonight. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thanks again for coming. May that peace go with you. God bless you.